Thank you very much.
Yes.
We bless your name. We glorify your name because of the witness of your spirit at this hour. We thank you for what the spirit is witnessing and speaking in the hearts and in our midst. Lord, we thank you because we see the manifestation of that desire in your heart for us to come to that place of fullness, for a pressing through, for a breaking through. And Lord, this night we say, draw us nearer, 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 nearer. Lord, even to that veil, bring us, bring our attention, bring our burdens, bring our work to that veil, to that place where you are speaking of a breaking through, a breaking down of the veil, where we begin to feel the reality of heaven. Beginning to comfort, be an everyday experience. Lord, in this time of transition, we pray you might help us. We pray for grace and ability to press in. You told Elisha, you told him, say, look, you must see, you must focus. For if you see, then you will receive. Lord, we pray you will help us to put aside every encumbrance, every weight, every distraction. Even the distractions that the enemy is bringing upon our body. For you have given the body to minister and not to be a distraction. So Lord, we refuse to bow. We will even command the body to submit to the will of God.
Amen.
For the body ought not to rule over the soul, but it ought to serve the soul. Therefore, Lord, we thank you because of the strength and the energy you are bringing our way. Because of the ministry of life you are bringing to our soul. That we might rise up and begin to pull down the flesh, begin to exercise dominion. We ask that you will be with us this evening. We ask that the windows of heaven will open up. We ask, O God, that angels will descend and arise. Oh yes, that there will be a true ministry of life. That we will receive strength today. We will receive grace today, O God. To possess our possessions. Oh yeah, that the years of the locust and the cankerworm might be restored.
Amen.
We'll just bless your name today.
Yes,
we'll glorify your name.
Thank you, Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I'm sure you can tell it's a real pleasure to be here. At this time, not just because of the weather, but you know, how refreshing it is. Like someone said, how blessed it is for brethren to dwell together. Amen. You know, there are different atmospheres, different flavors of the Spirit, different, you know, we got different feels of the Spirit. And, you know, when you come into that very special platform, as it were, where you can feel the warm embrace of the Spirit, is a very rare occasion. You know, so in the past few months and weeks, there has been something pressing in that has given me excitement. You know, I've been trying to, to reach out to try to identify it. You know, when something comes, sometimes you're not able to really lay hold on it. You know, sometimes it's lost, but I believe, you know, it's beginning to be clear. You know, the excitement that is coming. Amen. And you know, coming through here, of course, I knew we would be here, and I've been praying. And there has been a message that has been coming in my heart, you know. And not just that, I think it's something that brings much encouragement to you. Because everyone who is really striving to break in, you will see that the devil is working really hard to bring distractions. You know, and usually it's coming in the realm of the flesh. But Paul said, though the outward man perish, that the inward man is being renewed. And that's where I have found strength, you know. I've seen God begin to open, you know, the things about the inward man. It was as though I didn't know it was there. But suddenly I found that Paul spoke so much about the inward man. Paul talked about the outward and the inward man. He spoke so much, you know, and as it were, I see God laying that so much on my heart. It's as though that's the only thing I now see in Scripture, the inward and the outward. And, you know, that one is going down and the other is rising. Mm-hmm. Amen. You know, and for that we can say praise the Lord. We can be excited. Amen. So, we just encourage you, this is not a time to, if there's any time to really be excited, it is now. Yeah. You know, because we can feel that we are beginning to press in. Amen. The scripture, I want to talk about the conversion of the soul. Or more like Christ in the soul, and the conversion of the soul, something like that. Of course, you know the scripture. You find in Psalm 19. Psalm 19. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." Amen. You know, so all of a sudden, it's like the scales are falling off, and it's like it's looking all new. Amen. That the soul can be converted. Of course, you like me, you know about the soul. So, but I just said I should manage without drawing. So I will try to draw with my mind. I hope that you will also, you know, follow. You know. So of course you know about the soul. But God is showing some other, you know, emphasizing some other things, you know, about the soul. So it says, the scripture tells us that the soul can be converted. You know, so we know that for sure, and we can believe God for it. Now, if the soul can be converted, that means, you know, there's going to be a reality about the soul. You know, so let me start out this way. You know, Jesus was walking on the, you know, on the streets of Jerusalem, isn't it? But he was at the same time communicating with God, with the Father. You know, it was happening. You know, so it seems to me, well, I'm speaking from my own experience, it seems to me that I have been unaware of the reality of my soul. Apart from maybe probably when we are talking about it, or when we are fellowship, you know, but for me it's been more like a textbook thing, a Bible thing, you know, a head reality, you know. But recently, it's so clear to me that as much as you have the reality that your body is physically in this room, that there's a reality of the workings of my soul functioning in another dimension, as real, if not even more real than all this physical arrangement. Amen. And for me, that's something that's not been real. I mean, like I said, it's been more like a textbook thing, you know, or when we are reading the scriptures, I remember, so fine, I have a soul, and, you know, but the thing is, you know, for some time, God began to, you know, impress on my heart, the thing about Zion, you know, well, it was because of, you know, my own peculiar environment, you know, back home where there's a lot of insecurity. And you're looking for, well, for you, maybe it might be something else, you know, but everyone, I tell you, is being pressed, you know. So we are looking for something to hold, because, you know, the security is not coming from the police and all those other stuff. You know, it has to be something extra, you know. And then the reality of Zion began to dawn on me. You know, the scripture tells us about the city of refuge, that principle. Now, the city of refuge, you know, it was a natural thing, but, you know, it was, as much as it was natural, it was spiritual. Alright? And he says, as long as the high priest is in that city of refuge, the avenger of blood could not have an access. So, on the natural level, it was a place of security. It was a place of safety. It was a place of rest. You know? God began to show me that as much as it was something natural, that in the spirit also there was a place of rest for the soul. So as much as the body functions, the soul functions in the reality, and the Bible calls that reality Zion. Amen. Amen. And then he says that we have come, not that we are going to come. Yeah. But you and I, we're not aware of it, but say we have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. So I'm living here in Dubuque, but my soul is not bound to Dubuque. You think your soul is here. It is only my conscious, the conscious part of my mind or whatever that is relating. But the majority of my soul, which is spirit, is relating with Zion. Amen. You know, so the thing is, I'm not aware. So the problem, that's why I said you have to identify the problem. The problem is that of awareness. Knowing, isn't it? As you put it a different way, you're looking at senses. Because it is, you know, you are aware of your environment by the natural things you have, isn't it? I can see, I can hear, and so on. That's what connects me. There's also in the spirit, there is a connection. But the challenge I have is that these spiritual connections appear to be not to be properly quickened, not to be properly functioning. Therefore, even though I am in heaven, I am walking in Zion, in the city. I mean, say innumerable company of angels, to the blood and all that. You know, there was lightnings and so on and so on. I am not aware of them, and because I'm not aware, I see and I feel that I'm exposed, that I'm alone. I don't have any covering. I don't have any this. I don't have any that. Amen. Just like if you look at the flip side, if you are blind, you will not be aware of your physical environment. If you are deaf, you will not be hearing anything. But you are physically on, you know, in the book, but You are cut off from your environment. And that is what has been happening to us in the realm of the spirit. And the devil knows it, and he is capitalizing on it. So let's look at a few scriptures to try to give us a context. Let me start from Revelation 4. So we're speaking about the conversion of the soul. And Christ coming into the soul. And it says, after this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. Hallelujah. Brother, I want to say that a door has been opened in heaven. You know, heaven is no longer shut to us. It may have been shut, but I want to, declare that there is a door open in heaven. Hallelujah. And that door is for me to climb back to heaven. It's for my operation to change from a physical operation, where the things I do, my reality is all, defined by what is happening on the natural. Because there are three levels, isn't it? You have the body, which is the lowest. Then you have the soul, which is on a much higher spiritual dimension, and then the spirit. Amen. And for a long time, the devil has sold to us that we are just body. So we define ourselves by body. So if I'm trying to look at identifying myself, I'm just looking at what is happening to my body. And Jesus showed us the contrary. Now, what did Jesus say? He said, man shall not live by bread alone. He's speaking about the energy, but by every word. So the word was speaking to the greater part of him, because the soul and the spirit is spirit. Spiritual energy, spiritual reality. Amen. And and the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So here I am wrestling with the devil at the natural, but he's not coming to me at the natural. He's coming in the spirit, but he makes me think it's all natural. Amen. So when I come against situations, my first reaction is natural. Bank account, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, what's the right one? Pension. Once again, do you have to depend on? All their safety valves. So you make sure your bank account, you make sure this is happening. And when those things are there, you feel comfortable. I'm fine. I can handle it.
Good.
Yes. So what you will find is that in the days ahead, God is going to begin to pull some of those things, and he's doing it to force us to shift our focus. Amen. So someone says, I will lift up my eyes from whence cometh my help, isn't it? Say, my help cometh. We sing it, but we sing it with the reality that we are going to have a security, So our natural environment will secure. So we can always fall back, But there will be certainly be something. God will bring us to the point where, all the naturals will just, we know it will not be enough. It has to be something. So we have to rise to the spirit to draw the strength, to draw the energy, to now bring it down and use that to subdue the earth. You don't demand, subdue the earth. Have authority, have dominion. So where are we going to get that strength from? And the only way for that to happen is that the soul must be converted. There has to be a change, in my mind, in my emotions, my desire, the way it functions, the energy that comes to it, and all the things. That has to change, And I was somewhere, In fact, I think he was ministering the word, I think we're in Nairobi. And God began to define for me a son of God. You know, we say, as many as are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. Well, I got a new definition. A son of God is one whose soul is fully awake in God. So how is it that God is going to relate with you when in the Spirit you are a child? A child can't hear the Father's voice, isn't it? Cannot recognize the Father. He doesn't have that mature relationship. So you cannot say you are a son when in the Spirit, where it matters most, you are a weakling. A weakling is someone who is dominated by his environment, by circumstances. Amen. You know, so there's a definition that is speaking about strength. Mm-hmm. You know, Paul says, I pray that you might be strengthened with strength in the inner man. And part of that strength is strength in the mind, strength in my emotions, strength in my desire. You know, so there's so much strength within that when the enemy comes against you, he says that he cannot bring you under, because there is a strength. You know, in fact, there is a flow of life.
Amen.
You say, out of the belly will flow, is it not? Rivers. The only way that happens is that the belly is connected to another. There is something that is emptying into the soul.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you call it oil, but there must be a flow.
Amen.
You know, from a bigger source.
Yeah.
Flowing into the soul that now issues us. So when the enemy comes, he cannot, because there is such a power coming forth. You know, see, the light shines in darkness, and the darkness cannot. So we see a situation where the darkness is coming and is threatening us, and part of it is because our connection, we're not properly wired, we're not properly connected. Amen. So we see the scripture says, and I looked, and there was a door opened in heaven. You know, you see an example of a man like that, Daniel. He had the door open in heaven. The Bible said that three times a day. You know what he was faced with? All the conspiracies, isn't it? But three times a day, he said he will open the chambers of his soul. Isn't it? He will open the windows of heaven and he will communicate with God.
Amen.
So there was a stress. So even when they brought the lions, he had dominion. There was a strength in him that subdued the lions. Amen. You know, so we're speaking about this connection, you know, something different, and it's all within, you know, an energy that is able to beat, you know, bring the outward circumstances to subjection. Now, when you speak of outside circumstances, natural circumstances, you are looking at the physical elements. Physical elements, you know. And Jesus showed it. He walked on the water to show dominion. Is it not? He spoke to the elements to show dominion. He said, "Oh, ye of little faith, I was expecting that you should be able to do this." Amen. You know, so we have been threatened by the elements, and we feel small. You know, and of course, we are seeing all kinds of things happening in the environment. And the thing is, do we have an answer? Do we have something that can? And of course, we see. Say now, we see Jesus. Say we do not see all things subjected to man, is it not? He say, what is man that thou art mindful of him? You have made him a little lower. You know, but we do not see all things, all right. But you say something, but we see Jesus crowned with glory. You know, as we were sharing yesterday, you know, the thing about the 42nd generation and the 41st generation, you know, that they are much the same. Now, Jesus, of course, you know, is this 41st generation. And he comes, and we see the dominion. We see the you know, a life that dominated his environment. You know, he raised the dead, he healed the sick. You know, he rose from the dead. Mm-hmm. You know, the reality of resurrection. In fact, he said, I am the resurrection. So, you know, like someone was saying, it was, I am the reality. But you see, the 42nd generation, which is me and you, the only thing that we can have going for us is Christ in us. Mm-hmm. You know, for a long time, the church has tried to separate it. That is, I'm struggling to overcome. Amen. You can't overcome by your strength. You can't. I cannot overcome. I have no chance against the enemy. The only chance that I have is what? Christ in. Amen. It says the hope of glory. In other words, Christ is coming to restore the glory. Mm-hmm. That's what the hope means. You're hoping for what you're... And that is the faith. Faith is the substance of what? Things. That substance is Christ. In your soul. That is the substance of the glory that was lost, that the Christ in you will bring back to the soul. Mm-hmm. Amen. You know? So Christ in the church, Christ in my mind, in my emotion, is what is going to, is a different point. I mean, is the selling point. You know? And what is Christ? Christ is God in man. That's Christ. And that is a simple definition of Adam, isn't it? God the man. He's the same as Emmanuel. They will call his name Emmanuel, is it not? God. So God has to come into my mind. He has to show himself in my emotions. You know, I'm too scared of it because if I say it, if I believe it, it means I'm going to change. And we're not yet ready for the change. You know? But, well, I don't have too much luxury because I'm seeing the midnight. I'm seeing the darkness coming. You know? It's coming too close now. So I have to quickly believe that Christ can manifest in my situation. I thought I'd be hearing amen. We'll be shouting and blowing all the place. Amen. Amen. That is the reality. I mean, it's not just for the second. It's here. We have real situations and circumstances, isn't it? So, is Christ going to show himself in those situations? Maybe that's why those things are even there for the first place, is it not? You know. So, we are all facing circumstances. And we see a reality in that circumstance. And that is called Emmanuel. God in man. God in my circumstances, in my situations. And when he comes in, it is change. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. It has to be change. You see, Christ in me, or Christ in you, is a hope to restore a lost glory. Mm-hmm. Amen. You know, so Christ is coming into the soul. That changes the circumstances. It changes the story. Christ in me. Hallelujah. And the thing is that the soul, Bible says that all creation is waiting on tiptoe for the manifestation of the sons of God. So, I mean, why wouldn't the soul be waiting? Because he knows that when Christ comes, then liberty is going to come. Hallelujah. You know, so someone said we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. We are all going to be made alive. Yeah. Hallelujah. You know, so there's a new story, and that story is the story of life. The spirit of light, spirit of awakening. You know, it's a question of resurrection. You know, and that resurrection is of the inward man. The inward man is sleeping, has been a weakling. You know, 1 Corinthians 15 says he was sown in weakness. That's not the end of the story. It's going to come in strength. Dunamis. Dunamis is about to come into my soul, into my mind, into my emotion. He said, the Son of Righteousness will arise with what? Healing. So, when next depression comes, I know I have something against that depression. Christ in me. Amen. So, like I said, spring up, oh well. You know, so it's like, you know, you come into your house, it's dark. You know you have something. And that's why you are secure. What do you do? You just press the button. Just a button. That's a button effect. And there is light.
Amen.
So what I have to do now is, how do I touch the button?
Amen.
That's all I need to do. Touch the button.
Mm-hmm.
If I touch the button, I make the connection. Light comes. You know, and the Bible says the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness. Now, I have no problems with it, because the Bible says, who do you think you are? I didn't say I'm anything. The only thing I do is that Christ in me. That's what I say I am.
Amen.
Amen. So my boast is Christ in me.
Amen.
So this, my strength is not, because before we thought it is what I can do. It's not what I can do.
Amen.
You know, Paul said that when I am weak, then I am strong. It's another way of saying it. You know, so we see that our strength is in God.
Yeah.
You know, so I can look to God. I'm not looking at the problem. I'm not saying the problem is not there. The problem is there, but praise God, I know Emmanuel. I am. Amen. In that situation. Okay, so let's look at some scriptures just to build our faith. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Spirit. Now, for this to happen, you know, there is something that, well, for me, when I saw it, that was what helped me. Well, I would say helped me. It's helping me to try to make the connection. I don't think I've really made the connection yet, but I'm just trying to. Now, let's read a little bit of this Revelation 4. We'll see some, there are some principles. Now, it says, out of verse 5, it says, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, voices. So, can I ask us a question? Why would you have voices in heaven if there's nobody to hear in heaven? Think about it. Why we are singing, you know, why would you even be singing if there's nobody, if you can't hear? Do you sing to someone who's deaf? You sing because someone is can hear you and naturally, isn't it? So here you see there were voices, lightness in heaven. So there must be somebody who should be able to see, isn't it? There must be somebody who should be able to hear in heaven. And of course, we have been told that heaven is here, isn't it? So that means that there is a capacity in my soul, in my spirit, to hear, to see. As a matter of fact, all the senses you see in the body are more manifested in heaven than on earth. On earth, you have only one eye, but you are going to see very soon. They have eyes in front and behind and within. That's, you have three dimensions. Naturally, you only have one. But in the spirit, you have the ability to know what's happening in future, what has happened in the past, and what is happening now. So the three dimensions are complete in the spirit. So let's look at we'll see verse 5. Okay, verse 6. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne, around about the throne, were what? Four beasts full of eyes before and behind. We know what those beasts, that they're living creatures. It's speaking about the natures of the soul, you know. And so he's saying that in the soul, there are eyes before and behind. In other words, there is a capacity to see. That's what he's saying. And it is consistent with what we are told, because the Bible says, he made man in his own image, in his own nature. Alright? So he says, he that made the eyes, can he not see? And that's Psalm 94. Alright? He that created the eyes, Does he not hear? Or does he not see? Amen. He said that the gods of the heathen, what did they do? They have eyes, they can't see. They have ears, they can't hear. Is it not? Uh-huh. So they were jumping all over the place. Baal, hear us. Baal, wake up and hear us. Baal, wake up. Baal, are you not there? Hear us, O Lord. Hear us, O our God. Is that not so? But someone comes and says, O God, hear me now. Did he say in your Bible? He said, hear me now. And what happened? Fire came down. Amen. So God hears. Because he has created in me the ability to hear him in the spirit. Not just to hear him, to see in the spirit. Ahead, behind, and in fact, you will see the next verse, verse 8. He says there were eyes. You know, it was full of eyes with him. Look at verse 8. He said, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were what? Full of eyes within. And because of what they are beholding, they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 which was and is to come. You see the three dimensions. Because that is their reality. Amen. They can see God in those four dimensions. Amen. So he said there is full of eyes within. And full of eyes, he can see ahead. So what is he saying? That we have been deceived all along to think that I cannot hear God. You can hear God. And not just hear God, but you hear God more in your spirit than with your ears. You hear God more than you can even hear my voice. That's the reality. That's what this place is saying. It couldn't mean anything else. You can see there is more capacity in the spirit to hear. There are always voices. Why would you have voices if there are no ears to hear? So you are hearing at different levels, at different frequencies, in different situations, you know. And the man said in 1 Corinthians 13, say, when I was a child, what did I do? I spoke and I acted like a child. But when I became a man, you see the conversion of the soul, you see the transition, I put away childish things. He said, I know as I am known. Do you understand that English? You know as you are known. Amen. So he's saying that there is an awareness in the spirit that is my right. Amen. Amen. So we can see Jesus, he's sitting with those Pharisees and Sadducees and all those rascals. And he begins to read their thoughts. So he knew their thoughts. He perceived their thoughts. Amen. So, brethren, we can no longer continue to function as a people that cannot see. Amen. We should be able to see the plan of the enemy. Hallelujah. Yes. Is that not what made Isaiah and all those people different? He said, look, there must be somebody here who is revealing everything I am saying to the King of Israel. Before I do anything, he already knows. He might say, no, there's nothing. Say, there's a prophet. It's everything that you are doing is open to him. Hallelujah. You know, so this is, well, it was like hoped for. But we can tell God, because of the strength of our circumstance now, because of what I'm facing now, I need to walk into it. Amen. Amen. I must have something again over the enemy. I must have the reality. Yes. Where I can read the situation. Where there can be a spiritual reality that puts me over the devil. Amen. Hallelujah. So when you look at Revelation 5, 6, verse 8, and you put on verse 1. It paints a picture of hope for me. And what's the hope? That I can awake. That I can rise in my operation. I can come to a point where I can hear God. And I can, and if it is so, because we're going to see another scripture that he runs in the same line. If it is so, it means that when God speaks, that I have the capacity in my spirit to hear. The spirit hears and talks. Amen. My soul also hears it, and my body. So in the three dimensions, there's a full through. There's a follow through. You know, you say God spoke once, and I've heard it twice. Is it not? So God spoke once, I heard it at two levels. I heard it as a natural, and I also hear it in the level of the spirit. Amen. So I'm hearing it properly. You know, I have no doubt what God is saying to me. You know, I have no doubt what God is showing to me. Amen. So say, sown in weakness, raised in power. Sown in nakedness, was uncovered. You know, my soul is all open. You know, but come to a point where my soul is married by Christ. It's overshadowed by the mind of Christ. Amen. So it is the mind of Christ feeding my mind. Ah, that's a different thing altogether. Amen. And then he says, what's the other one? He says, power, honor. Okay. And then, an honor. So there is a transition for the soul. So we are seeing that my Christian experience is not just the traditional thing, I'm born again, you know, and then I'm struggling against the devil. No. You know, I come into the kingdom for the change. You know, I come into the kingdom that the inward man might be, you know, might be raised up to come to a reality in God of who I am and where God has made me. Let me look at the other scripture quickly, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and then we can move a little bit forward. Because we must end up in the tabernacle and then get it properly, because I believe that if we do not bring into the tabernacle, then we cannot properly appreciate. So 1 Corinthians 2:9, quickly. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, I had not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But they are revealed unto us by the Spirit. Amen. So we are moving from the point where our relationship with the Spirit is dull. If you deal with the ICT people, they will give you a map of the internet heat map. That is the activity on the internet. Okay. So in some places it's very, very, you know, dormant. Nothing's happening. All right. So also in the spirit, you know, we have been very dormant. When it's about to change, we are going to come to a place of hyperactivity. Amen. Because we'll be spiritually awake. You know. So it says, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit does what? Searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man save the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Amen. So we see something developing, a fellowship between the Spirit of God and our spirit. Amen. It's going to be a lot of activity, you know, and that activity is for the life of the soul. Amen. Because the Spirit brings into my spirit, and from my spirit it ought to come into the realm of my soul. Amen. You know, so for a long time, that connection between my soul and the spirit has been, like I said, it's been very quiet. Someone says I went and all the earth is quiet. You know, so we have not been a people that are intense in the spirit.
Amen.
We are too gentle. In the fellowship, I said, brethren, we are too quiet for the devil.
Amen.
We're too gentle. So we need that spiritual intensity.
Amen.
We need to stir the thing. You need to become intense spiritually. And you know, when you become when you stir up, you begin to hear, you begin to see. You know, that's the senses of your spirit become, they'll just become activated, and you begin to hear voices. You'll be hearing the voice of God. Amen. You know, we'll be able to see visions. It's like someone who's baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what happens? At that phase, you know, person is having visions, dreams, and so on. It ought not to be a one-off. It should be a continuous. Amen. So we say angels are rising and descending and arising. So the connection between the realm of the spirit and us ought not to be so wide. So wide.
Amen.
Ought not to be. You know. So we see God, that God wants to bring two together.
Yes.
You know. To bring it together. Amen. You know. And that means the strength of the spirit is coming into my soul.
Amen.
It's coming into my situation. Amen. I can have help. That's all we are saying, that you can have help.
Amen.
From the spirit.
Amen.
And for me, the easiest way for me to get into the spirit is through the word. The word is spirit and life. Is the easiest way. So you enter into the word, you focus your mind on the word, the spirit opens. That's the door open in heaven, and you begin to climb. Of course, we know the tabernacle is steps. Those are steps, you know, and those are steps for the soul. Amen. So the four corners there, those four things, it's speaking about the four dimensions of the soul. You know? And one of the things that must happen on a practical level is that I must come to a place of judgment in the lifestyle of the soul. In who I am. Where I dwell. Alright? So there are when you look at it, there are various I don't know, for want of, you know, words, I don't know what I would like to say. Sometimes I call it inheritance, sometimes I call it capacity, sometimes whatever, however it is. But one of the things is that the soul has the capacity to be a realm in which spirits dwell. That's one reality. The soul has the capacity to be married.
Amen.
You know, so when the Bible talks about marriage, it's speaking about marriage for the body, marriage for the soul, and marriage for the spirit. You must know that.
Amen.
So the three dimensions in you must be married at whatever level. So the Bible says, he that is joined unto the Lord is what?
One
spirit.
Amen.
So there's a place where my spirit can be joined to the spirit of the Lord.
Amen.
And that is the lampstand, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Is it? So in the way we have operated, we have cut up so many, we have brought a limitation on ourselves so much that my spirit can be joined. I should be. And is joined to the spirit of Christ. So Christ comes into my soul to bring my soul into Christ.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Is that the point? So Christ comes into my soul, but you see, the Christ in my soul is a stranger, a visitor. It's actually trying to buy land. It's trying to, can I have a place to dwell? Can I just get a place to establish myself? The soul, that spirit doesn't have dominion over my soul, over the realms of my soul, no. Because my soul has fallen. There's a fallen nature of my soul. Apart from the darkness that is also in my soul. So you are looking at the soul that is falling, my mind is falling, My emotions are falling. So you are dealing with that. You are dealing with the darkness that came in, that is just like Christ comes in. That's how the darkness comes in. And the darkness is expanding. Don't you understand? So Christ comes into that place where the darkness has been working. But because it's of course, a much higher dimension, it says a light begins to shine in the darkness. And what it is doing is now to overcome the darkness. Not just that, but to begin to lift, bring hope to my fallen nature and to take it up. You know, amen. So we see all these dynamics working within the soul. But you see, the Christ in me must grow. So Paul said, I'm laboring that Christ might be formed, isn't it? Okay, you can say that Christ might come into fullness. So Christ comes into my soul that he might bring the fallen natures of my soul into Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, so we are under no illusion that we have arrived. So Paul said, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but I press forward toward the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And what is that? That Christ might be all in all, right? He might, you know, he will bring all things under subjection. Now, some have settled that we are not going to overcome. We like it where we are. We just like Christ, just a little bit of Christ, and a lot of darkness. And I like the way I am. Like Brother George would say, there are some people, he says, we know who we are. We are not going to change. Who are those guys from Liechtenstein? You say we are who we are. We are not going to change or something.
Luxembourg.
Who we are,
we will not.
That's right. We are who we are. We will not change. There are some people in the church that say we know who we are, and we are very happy where we are. We are not going to change. But we are not of those who draw back unto perdition. Hallelujah. But we are of those who are pressing on to the saving of the soul. Hallelujah. So you look along the road, many casualties, many roads. Amen. You know, and we must strengthen ourselves.
Amen.
We must strengthen our resolve. Amen. That the Christ that has come in must come to a place of lordship.
Amen.
Amen. He must rule over the mind. Must have dominion over the emotions. Must be fully established. And that is a tall order. That is a tall order. Amen. So look at all the things you are dealing with. You are dealing with the fallen nature of the soul. You are dealing with the darkness that is feeding on the darkness is feeding on the fallen nature. Then you have spirits, dark nature spirits, that are feeding on the darkness and on the fallen nature of the soul. Amen. But we are not discouraged, because our sufficiency is of God. Amen. You know, we are not sufficient unto ourselves.
Amen.
You know, but we know that he who started this is able to finish it off. You know, so am I convinced that he can finish it? And do I want to partner with him? Do I want to? So when I begin to see all this, I know that the battle is with him. There's war in heaven. Amen. There's war in heaven. You know, say Michael fought and the, yes, there's a war in heaven. Certainly in this heaven, there's a war. And he talks about the lust of the flesh, you know, that war against the soul, isn't it? You know, there are things that the devil is playing on. He believes there's no way I'm going to win, but I will win. You know, and one of the things that will help us to win is that we must set the right environment. We must change the environment a bit. That means we must bring the flesh under subjection. And then give the mind, give the soul a head start. Okay, so that's why you must be building fasting. Is fasting part of our program? You know, I don't like to fast.
Want to show a hand?
How many people like to fast? But that's where the strain is. So it says, as soon as Zion traveled, she was able to overcome. You know, so we need to look at the setup and then building some time of fasting. You know, of course you can do 1 day, 2 days. You know, but you can push it a bit: 3 days, 7 days, 21 days. It can go up to 40 days. Now, what is that supposed to do? Is to bring the flesh down. Someone said, I chastened my soul with fasting. In other words, that's the breaking of the fallow ground. That's the atonement, isn't it? You know, a place we have of breaking up the soul. That the soul is comfortable in darkness. It's like a man loves darkness. In fact, someone says, you know, the Greek says that man, in other words, the fallen soul is entertained. Is fond, is it attained, gets energy. So the soul has been feeding from an energy of darkness. Remember, it says, if the light in you be darkness. Yeah. What is he saying? If the energy my soul is feeding upon is darkness, then say great. Hallelujah. So I'm looking at, because I'm looking out for action points, things I can deal with, I can focus on. So I say, if my appetite can change, my appetite, that is, you know, and of course that is now my emotion, sorry, my desire, isn't it? And we know the desire in the makeup of the soul is the lowest fat. You know, so if my desire can change, if I can begin to desire, and of course we are shown a picture of what we can look up to. We see the cherubims, isn't it? Alright, they are right there. You see them everywhere. You see it in the holy place. You see it over the roof of the holy place. You see it, you know, on the veil. And then when you cross over, it's all over the place. Now, the cherubims, their focus is on God. You know, amen. So Paul says, set your affections, yes, on the things above. That is, he's speaking about my appetite. So if I'm looking at conversion of my soul, the waking up of my soul, there are action points. Appetite. For me, it's easier to look at a lifestyle, my lifestyle. You know, there are high points in my lifestyle, the things that rank first in your lifestyle. You know, you can look at it and then see how you can convert it. You can top it. So, I don't think I'm going to have the time to read it, but when you look at Ezekiel 43 and 44, it shows us that the entrance of the glory of God into the temple is from the east gate. If you go back up a bit to Ezekiel 10 and 11, it tells you how the glory departed. You know, he went from within to the threshold, from there he went to the mountain, from there he... But when you go further down the road, you also see the same glory returning. You know? So in Ezekiel 42 and 43, and in fact from 40 actually, up till the end, you see an account of the restoration of the glory of God to the temple. So don't let anybody kid you. The glory is coming back. And it's coming back to this temple. So that's why I'm trying to take time to, you know, to show it. It's very clear. It's written down. It's documented. It's not just a feeling. I don't need to feel anything. It's there in scripture, so I can hold on to it. It's as my basis. God is showing that the glory is going to come back from the East Gate. And we know what the East Gate is. Amen. So we can go to Revelation 7, Revelation 9. You can see, you know, Revelation 7 says there was an angel coming from the East. That, in other words, that's a ministry to bring liberty to the mind. A ministry to restore the mind to the prime position over the soul. So in other words, I'm listening to a ministry. Someone is bringing a word. It has all the sound. It has all the sound bites. It has everything. But I have my, in my fellowship, there's something we'll call it. You know, I have my meter and I'm checking the content of ceiling. How much can you see in my mind? If it has a very low content of sealing my mind, of bringing the liberty to my mind, if it's a body-based message, you know the body-based message, blessing. God is good. God is going to provide for me. I need a car. I need to get someone to do my lawns. I need to do, get somebody to get me a new this and this. I need healing in my body. I need this. Those are good. But very little on the inward man.
Amen.
Then for me it's very low. No excitement actually. But when I see the one that's telling me the rising, the uprising of my soul, that is number one. Amen. So I'm looking for those who have that interest.
Amen.
Amen. Those will be my top friends. Amen. So I'm looking at my activities. There are things I do that promote the body. Isn't it? You know? There are things I do that promote emotional, you know, family bonding, national 4th of July. Have a good 4th of July. Did somebody tell you that? Anyway, so it has its place. Remember, I spent my whole time on 4th of July. I know that is. It's like somebody feeding, I didn't want to use the word trash. There's another word that say that talked about, somebody is giving you something and that is of no use, no nutritive value. And there are a whole lot of things we get involved in that have no spiritual, I call it life of Christ value.
Amen.
You know, there are things that I do that have the life of Christ. There are a lot of that we do that have no, it's not good to, in fact, if anything, they will put you down, even the little you have. Because the Lord says, to him that has, it will be given. To him that doesn't have, even the little that you have will be taken. So if the life of, if the spiritual energy you have is low, and you get close to these high energy sapping events, even the little you have, they are going to take away from you. So at the end, you are just flat, lifeless. And we see that we run into those kind of situations a lot. You know? So you probably run from one to another one to another one, and at the end of the day, you are just, the oil is gone. Amen. So that is saying I must look at my lifestyle, you know, and I have to commit. Okay, and that is the liver, isn't it? That is that place of consecration. I'm committing that this lifestyle has to go. You know, while we are talking on the positives, now there is something about the locust spirit. You see it in Revelation 9. You know, it says those locust spirits, they came out of the bottomless pit, that they darkened the heavens, isn't it? And out of it came the locust. And it was going for the forehead of those who were not sealed. Now, the thing the locust does, the locust, it goes for life, the grain. It's going for the life of God. Amen. That is, it's going for, that's anywhere there is life, that you have the grain, it's going to eat it. But it does something else. You see that anyone bitten by the locust, that they would desire death. and they will not find it. They will desire to die, but see that death will be taken. In other words, we come to the point where we will become very insensitive. That is, even the things that normal, naturally, that we should tremble at the word of God, we see that we lose that capacity to tremble. That is, you know, we lose our fear, we lose that sensitivity we have in God. And it's because the tenderness is taken away, you know, that intimacy with God. Now, of course, even intimacy with one another, intimacy even in marriage, in families, in, you know, in fellowship, you see it going. And it happens where the spirit, you know, is operating. And this is the modern day spirit, you know, it's... Anything that is called God is taken away. We are looking at some new dress codes coming. Yes, they are designing some new clothes for the gay community. Oh yes, it's coming. So you bet someone is working very hard, and very soon they will begin to desensitize us. After some time, it will not count much, you know. So we'll probably get used to having gay people around us. So I mean, why can't they dress the way they want? You know, there was a gay parade the other day, and the Methodist Church, many churches were there. They say even the Methodist Church is with us. So what are you talking about? You know, so there is something working, and you know, all that is doing is to water down our resolve, our commitment. Amen. You know, so one could go on and on and on, but I believe that when you put it all together, there is something new on the table. You know, God is putting something new on the table for us, and that is the awakening, the new dawn of the inward man. You know, He's showing us that we can come to the place where we are connected back to the heavens. He said the spirit of man is the lamp, or put it the other way, is the emptying vessel of the spirit of God. That's what it means. It is the lamp of the Lord. So you have a bigger vessel emptying into a smaller one. Amen. So the Spirit of God is our resource, is my reserve. Put it another way, the mind of Christ is my result, is my backup, is my treasure. Amen. So I can always go and be filled back. So if I have a viable relationship, I can see that there's a flow of oil, there's a flow of life into my spirit and then into my soul. You know, because the oil in the lamp can dry up. Yes, oil in the lamp can dry up. And it says the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. Amen. So our ability to weather the storm, to ride the whirlwind, you know, at the end of the day depends on how much oil you have in your emotion, in your desire, in your will. Amen. So if the devil comes knocking, you know, he should find oil in my soul. He should find oil in my spirit. Amen. And because it's not just a one-off thing, it's a lifestyle. That's where I dwell. So he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the overshadow of the Almighty. That is, you know, speaking of breaking in into that place, you know, of intimacy, that over, because the ark in a way actually speaks of overshadowing, you know, the ark speaks of overshadowing. And I believe that we can trust God to begin to walk, begin in our experience, begin to get into it. I personally did not feel it's something I can do of myself. But I can see that as I begin to connect to the Spirit, you know. We talked about doing the scriptures. The value of doing scriptures is not just that we are keeping numbers. I did this, I did that. But that my mind is always stayed. It's always stayed. Amen. You know, so you're keeping me perfect, whose mind is stayed. Hallelujah. So if the mind is always tuned to the Spirit, then you have a flow. You know, and I can share with you and tell you that from my own little effort, I've seen so much difference in my mind. I can share that. So much difference in my mind. You know, in the clarity, you know, in being able to be more focused than before. I mean, things come to, you know, shake up the mind, but I see that when I press on, it comes. You know, I come to a place where, you know, of quietness. I'm sure you know, the mind, of course, it's like an ego, isn't it? So it can mount up. That means it can rise. There's no law that says if it rises, it must fall. If it rises, it can remain where it is. Anyway, so they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up. So you can keep on mounting up. Amen. It doesn't have to fall. Even if it falls, it can rise again. So say the man falls seven times, and seven times, because he has built a capacity. You have formed a heartbeat of picking yourself up and rising in God. Amen. It's called resurrection. Amen. So in other words, you see, as the mind rises, so also rises the appetite. Yes. There are some things, I mean, I don't even believe it. I didn't even notice when they came and went. Previously, I'd be looking out for this. And before, so I'm seeing that the hold on my soul is losing. It's breaking off. And I can only attribute it to the mind, the word. So the entrance of the word, it bring light. So we can invest on that. We can invest on the word. We can invest on the fasting. We can invest on lifestyle change. We can invest on a company. I mean, building on those who have the same interest like we have. It's not that the others, I mean, those who don't have, praise God for them. You know, we can even, you know, encourage those who are not looking that way to say, look, this is the way to go. You know, but we must keep going. You know, because we see that is the way to go. I don't see any other chance we have. I don't see any other chance. Because I believe we have a little chance. I remember something Sister Sue posted when our friend came along, Trump. You know, Trump is our friend. He's my friend. He's not born again. I don't believe he is. Because he can pardon me, you know, but I believe he's there for a purpose. And she said, what are we going to do with the time we have?
Amen. That's right.
We've had it before, isn't it? Is it who is it that gave us time? Somebody came and gave us time previously, gave you some time previously. Is it not Bush yet? You have some time with Bush. All right. So now, someone came and it was bad, going to be very, very bad. And it was just turned at the nick of time. So that means we have just a little more time to get it right. And I believe God is giving us the ability to rise, to awake. The Bible said that the time is come when those who will hear the voice will, every one of them will awake. So there's a rising of time, I think, that is coming to us. And we can use the little time we have, the little energy we have, you know, to press, you know, so that when the thing starts coming, the midnight comes. You know, midnight is not one day, it's a period of time, it's a series of events leading up. So if midnight, at grade 5 comes and I'm not able to overcome, what am I going to do with grade 8? You understand? So it's important I must overcome now. Because if I overcome now, then I can deal with what is coming. So it says, if we are wrong with the footmen and we're not able to, what are we going to do with the horses? You know? So it says, behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. You understand? So darkness very soon is going to come on the man. He's going to come out, say, out of the mist, it's coming forth. You know? So when you put it all together, he's saying we have to rise. You know? And, you know, we have our own, I don't want to use the word destiny, but we have our own salvation in our hands. For me, I have to do something. I have to sit, I have to focus, I have to trust God, you know, that we can overcome. I don't think I have any other choice. Where would my help come from? You know? So the only hope I have is in the Lord. And that is the faith, you know, that we do not draw back.
Amen.
But must be a presser. He must press him to the saving of his soul. You know, so the devil is going to try to bring distraction, you know, but we must know where our energy source is. We must know, you know, more trust in the weapons God has given to us, more trust in our abilities. Praise the Lord. So we just wanted to encourage, and it's all for us. I believe that we all need the word, you know, to be able to overcome. Praise God. Hallelujah. So I think we can pray and just respond to what God is saying. Amen. Praise God.